So what's in the bag?
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What?
No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. For this week, I'm here with Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
What was that?
You were just
quoting lines from this movie for like the past 10 minutes, and that's what you open up with?
You wanted to do a catchphrase and totally froze. That was
it's the red smoke. It's in my head. It's making me hard to think.
Oh my god! All right, Brian Mueller is here. That disrupted everything.
I was gonna do a catchphrase, but
you can't even follow that, really. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And Cody Wolf.
I'm only here because my hot air balloon crashed outside. So.
Yeah. Our movie this week is 2001's. 2001's?
It's one of the ones.
Well, that technically is almost correct. 2001's would be like the year 2000, so you'd just be a year off.
I guess I'm just a year off, yeah. John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars. So there's two I like how there's two possessives in this. John Carpenter's, so he owns the ghosts, but it's then Ghosts of Mars. So.
Right, that's owns the ghosts of Mars.
Yes.
Whereas...
Well, I don't think ghosts is possessive in that.
I guess that's
true. Mars owns the ghosts. They're the ghosts of Mars, therefore they're the ghosts that Mars owns.
Yes. If it was John Carpenter's Mars Ghosts, then
that's the movie.
Yeah.
Which was, as I understand, a possible title.
I should tease coming up. We have two of my all-time favorite So Wrong It's Right questions coming up at the end of this episode. They are... in doing some research after watching the movie, my mind was blown. So I'll share that with all of you.
Very well.
Later on. Let's dive right into it. Right before we get in, we should say this was sort of John Carpenter's exit from Hollywood. He has made...
A swan song it was.
Yeah, this was it. This is the one where
he said... admitted, like, afterwards, he's like, yeah, I'm burnt out. I'm
pretty much done here, folks. here's the
keys.
Thanks
for the memories.
Yeah, and... It is just a wacky hodgepodge of all of the kind of John Carpenter-isms that we sort of get used to. It starts with a ton of just model railroad footage.
Did anyone else catch the one thing? The movie opens with a shot of Mars from space.
Yes.
Now is that?
I knew we were in
that
for a treat when that happened.
Yeah. Does that fit into our rule of the planet Earth from space?
I think it does. It counts.
Because everything took place on that planet.
And then it says the date. It says, like, mining colony, and then it says matriarchal society.
Well, I was glad they used the miniature and they didn't do, like, bad, terrible CGI, like, Sound of Thunder.
Oh,
that's
right.
True.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this movie seemed like it could have been, if they did CGI, like, really, really bad CGI, so I'm glad they did that.
He knew his special effects limits, so he didn't ruin
that's
us.
That's true. And if you're watching it, you can kind of enjoy it, because you can just get... about, I don't know, a quality 5 minutes of model railroad, like sci-fi train model railroad footage set to techno music. If you ever wanted to watch that for like 5 minutes, this is your chance.
It looked kind of like the stuff that they did in Total Recall about 11 years prior.
Yeah, it did. And actually, I was thinking about it, which is also set on
and
Mars.
And somehow the special effects were worse than a movie that was made like 16 years before that.
Yes. Yes. And we find out it's an empty train with... a woman, Natasha Henstridge, handcuffed to it.
Yep, and she's got a scar on her neck.
She has a scar on her neck. And we're now getting... See, one of the problems I have with this movie is the flashbacks. There are flashbacks within flashbacks.
There are flashbacks to, like, the scene prior.
Yeah. At one point, there's a flashback to something that basically happened minutes earlier that we shouldn't be flashing back to, but they are flashing back to. And sometimes flashbacks involve us seeing just scenes that we had already seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. It was like it was a forward moving version of Memento in many ways, in that where a lot of times you would see like the end of one scene and the beginning of the other. Yeah. Like it was just so unnecessary. Like, they not only go back, but then you'd hear like 30 seconds worth of dialogue that you already heard from the exact same perspective.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like you're wasting so much time.
I think what was even more egregious than that, I don't know if you noticed, the dissolves, like completely unnecessary dissolves, like in a scene.
Oh, I
like
love
someone,
that.
Someone would walk into a room and it would just, be, from them walking to the door, like down the hall, it'd be like 3 or 4 dissolves.
Of the same shot.
Just to, yeah, like
just
get them down
just
there quicker.
To speed up. This was like, I could imagine the notes they were getting from the studio, like, shorten the movie, so they literally just shortened some shots by having them dissolve.
Do you think that's what
themselves.
I was wondering? I was trying to figure out why they did that.
I have to think because the crazy wipes that come.
No, yeah. All right,
so, if you're trying to save time with dissolves, why are you doing flashbacks within flashbacks and showing the same scene again?
Oh, that's true.
I thought it was like a stylistic thing.
First, I thought it was just lazy filmmaking because there was, you know, there's some scenes where someone's like, oh, go tell the captain this.
Right.
And rather than, like, actually showing a scene of dialogue or advancing the plot, they're like, ah, just throw a dissolve in there.
Right, yeah.
Assume that happened, you're on to the next scene.
Right.
But then, yeah, like there would be dissolves where it would dissolve from them, like, their right foot forward, their left foot back,
yeah.
to, like, their right foot forward again. And like, oh, we just dissolved, like, one step out.
Yeah, you saved all of about a second and a half by doing it as a dissolve. Yeah.
I just imagine the editors, when they were, like, getting the notes for the film, they're like, another dissolve? Yeah. That's what it says. All right.
John Carpenter said, what do you think when you see Ghosts of Mars? I think dissolves. Yeah. That's what I see. I want to see dissolves.
So we find out Natasha Henstridge was the woman on the train. Mm-hmm. She's at some kind of tribunal. It's
like a court martial.
It's
almost.
A hearing. It's a Jedi hearing? Council.
Some kind of a hearing, yeah. A discovery hearing, whatever they called it. To find out what happened.
So now we go into the flashbacks, and she's back on the train now with a crew of people, including, God, I love her so much, but Pam Grier in this movie. Oh boy. Her first scene is a thing of beauty where Pam Grier's character is sleeping.
Oh, that
and
one.
She's sleeping with her hand on her forehead. Like she's sort like of that. Like you would do if you were like in like 1800s and you thought you were going to.
Then you were having vexations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or blind, or shielding your eyes from the sun.
And then.
Who sleeps like that?
Who would sleep like that?
That's how they sleep in the future.
That's right.
In space.
In space, people sleep with the back of their head. On their forehead.
And she's all amped up. Pam Grier is all amped up. I think she's in charge of this mission. It took me by a solid 15 minutes, by the way, to understand that they were cops doing a prisoner transport.
Yeah, I thought they were like bounty hunters or something at first. They kind of had that ragtag feel to them.
Like there was something going on.
Yeah, these are deputized officers of the law.
And we also learn that Natasha Henstridge uses drugs.
Yes.
We get the tsunami from it reminded me obviously of what Snake Plissken was surfing on in Escape from LA. I was like, oh God, no.
Well, we get this whole elaborate scene where she has this necklace around and she's like popping a pill from it and it sends her into these like visions of waves and nature and stuff. And I'm thinking at this early point, well, that's a big deal, right? That's going to be a key point for the rest of the movie, that she's on drugs, right?
Well, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
The way they brought it back was even more confusing than if they had
We will say that this movie has a very bad, like, drug use message in it.
Oh, we'll get to that, too. Yeah, that's, yeah. Did anybody catch it? Was Pam Grier hitting on Natasha?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, she
absolutely
was.
She was. Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely, she was. Absolutely,
because she was like caressing her.
And I never came back either.
And she said, "We
I didn't even have time to."
She said, she said something like, "We need a, we need officers like you, straight shooters." And she says, "Yeah, I am straight." And she jumps off the cot.
Straight as they come.
Straight as they come.
As Pam Grier is like petting her.
Yep.
Yeah, she was like petting her like
she's
a
like,
cat.
Oh, that's too bad.
And then there was that scene later when I think she was talking to Jason Statham, and she goes, you know, Captain or Commander thinks that I need to do some favors to make the next rank, but I'm not into that.
Okay, so that was
so, yeah,
going
she
on.
Was definitely.
To which Jason Statham starts immediately hitting on Natasha Henstridge, like right on.
Well, I'm
oh,
sure
yeah.
Jason
All
Statham
right, baby,
was
let's
probably
go make
wondering.
It behind the borders, right, Alf?
So
you look sexy with a gun in your hand. What can I say?
You do a good job. I like
you do a
Jason
good Jason Statham.
Statham.
That's a good one. So they're on this train that's going to a remote mining outpost on Mars to pick up a prisoner, and bring the prisoner back with them.
Not just any prisoner.
There's a lot of question marks on this.
Not just any prisoner. Desolation Williams.
James Desolation Williams. A nickname no one could ever have. How would that come in as a nickname?
I know, they never explained it, like Desolation.
It could not be a nickname. Can you imagine if they were like, you know what, Brian, from now on, I'm going to call you Desolation.
Okay.
Great.
These are my friends. This is Chip. This is Cornball. This is Desolation. This is Frankie. Wait, Frank.
Did you say Desolation?
Here's the other funny part. So they're going over like his rap sheet, and she's like, "Yeah, he's been arrested 3 times for murder, but gotten off each time on self-defense." If that doesn't sound like someone nicknamed Desolation,
I know.
I was just trying to protect myself. Yeah. We're gonna call you Desolation.
Your sentence is a terrible nickname.
No.
No, like, appeal.
Why is this guy like? Right, one, they never go into the circumstances of who he killed or whatever. Yeah. But how is that like a feared criminal that everyone's scared of?
Right. Right.
He got off on a technicality 3 times because he was defending himself?
Yeah.
They couldn't have at least, like, if you're gonna make the guy, like, I mean, he wasn't the villain, but at the beginning of the movie, you thought he was gonna be the villain. If he's gonna be the main badass of the movie, why isn't, like, he killed 60 people in 2 years, all of them by, you know, like, taking their heart out? Like, make him a freaking badass, not like, oh, sorry, he fell on my knife.
Yeah, he was gonna kill me.
Right. I will say the Desolation.
Because you can't make a guy like that a good guy in the end, so.
Of course.
Well, you could do like a Pitch Black type thing where, like, Riddick was a terrible person, but, like, when there was a bigger evil that came about, then he was kind of like, okay, he might be a bad guy, but
he's not that bad.
In deep down, he's okay.
I thought that Desolation Williams had a great lawyer, better lawyer than the priest in Fear No Evil.
That's true. Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah.
We're jumping forward a little bit. When we first meet Ice Cube in this movie, I really wanted him to be with them to be like, hey, Desolation. And he'd be like, you know what? I go by Jim. Okay. Like, that's really, like, that's not cool, guys. My name is Jim. If you want to call me by my last name, I'm cool with that. But, like, I didn't pick Desolation as my nickname. So they pull the train into this town, and we get another flashback within a flashback where, for some unknown reason, John Carpenter and the editors of the movie feel the need to show us this now empty town when it was a thriving town.
Oh, yeah,
which
and another dissolve.
Just confusing.
Instead of just doing a wide shot with them standing in the center of a dead city.
Right.
It was like that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy where, remember when he's going that first scene and
he puts on that helmet.
Helmet and he sees like people walking.
Yeah.
And, which kind of makes sense because
like
you understood
time.
Like,
he
has some special device that allows him to do that, not just like you could have just said, this place used to be a thriving
I believed her
economy.
When she said
like,
it.
Oh, that's what that means. There were people there and they're not. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, which
now we're up to speed.
Yeah, I was like, of all the things you need to explain, that was not one of them. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Isn't it funny if they like took it a step further and they show like people like,
I thought the town was called Desolation.
In like the bathrooms and like taking showers. They just kept hammering it home.
Speaking of shower, doesn't Natasha Henstridge say something about save some water, I want to take a shower?
They do talk about that.
Yeah, when they split
I thought
up,
that was
she's
kind of
like,
unnecessary.
Save some hot water for me.
Yeah.
And I think she even says that to Pam Grier, which is kind of inappropriate, I guess, considering that Pam Grier was probably like,
Pam Grier's like, ooh. Yeah, hello there. I will save some hot water for you.
Things are looking up. Yeah. And there's so much weird. I more so than most movies we do, I have quotes of just real dialogue that's so awkwardly written. Like, right when they pull in, I can't remember if it's Statham or Natasha Henstridge has a line where they say, no one seems to be about. What do you make of it? Why would you say that?
It says
no one seems
hey,
to be
where
about.
Is everybody? You know, like, I don't see anybody. Like, no one seems to be about.
I know
like
see
police
to be
officers,
about.
Like, cops, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one seems to be about.
So strange.
No one seems to be a boat.
And then
a boot.
A boot.
And then there's points where we cut back during the movie to the tribunal where Natasha Henstridge in the tribunal has to explain that some of the flashbacks aren't hers. They're Pam Grier's flashbacks from things that Pam Grier told her. And at this point, I'm like, okay, and we're in like Inception territory.
She's doing that movie thing where the one survivor can tell the story and include scenes where they're not in.
Right, because Pam Grier told me about this, so I'll...
But when? They were separated the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, were they?
Maybe they weren't.
Maybe she saved some hot water for her.
Maybe she did.
Maybe
they edited that part out.
Josh Henstridge was like, I'm just going to edit out this one part. You know what?
It
was
dissolved pretty, to the next scene.
It was pretty hot, but we'll
what happened after you and the commander got into the living quarters?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember.
Yeah. It just kind of dissolves.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. And then we then meet, like, there's other... So they're in the jail? Is that where they start meeting the other characters in this village?
Basically, they go to the holding cell.
Well, the jail is where they want to go anyway, because they're just there for one job, pick up Desolation Williams, and they find him sitting in a cell and on, like, a security camera, and that's how they know what building he's in.
Okay.
And then there's these other characters who really don't have much development. They're just other inmates in the jail. Yeah.
Including, Cody pointed this out earlier.
This is my favorite. I laughed so hard at that.
I laughed at this. It was so ridiculous. The hilarious setup of Joanna Cassidy as a doctor who flew in on a weather balloon.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when, in a flashback, of course, when the weather balloon crashes. It's like the most epic balloon crash. Yeah. There's like, again, dissolves.
Yes.
Between like it crashing and dissolve to a crashing again.
How did she not die in
that? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't
even. She jumped out right before it. It hit.
The thing lit up like the Hindenburg.
It did, and it kept dissolving. Like,
what the hell kind of gases are in this thing?
It exploded midair too, so even if she jumped from it, she would have died from the fall.
I don't even know why they really felt the need to show that to us. It's not really relevant to anything other than the comedy of seeing Joanna Cassidy in a little weather balloon, like, whoa!
Just the way they
I know
the
we're this amazing. Isn't chronological, but
probably
in a
my
movie,
favorite scene in the
that
movie
has
too.
No chronological principles in itself, I think we can bring this up now.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
As long as we're talking about that weather balloon scene, why I still don't get why she was on a weather balloon and what she was running from, because I thought made it sound like she was trying to escape the colony that they were in.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
But in the flashback, they show her flying towards the colony.
Yes.
So where was she coming from?
I think she's coming from a different... I have no idea.
Is the same thing happening in multiple colonies?
I really wasn't...
Oh, maybe. You maybe... Oh, maybe.
But I feel like they never said that.
But they never said that. They made it sound like she was at this colony, got in a weather balloon, and then the weather balloon crashed at the same colony.
Because of the one flashback...
No, because she was flying for like days, she said.
And she was going around in a circle.
Yeah, man.
But in the one flashback, they showed her,
around
like,
Mars in 80 days.
Spoiler alert, she was the one that released the crap that turned everyone crazy, so she was on that colony, so in theory, she would be trying to escape that.
Yes.
So where was she coming from when she was flying on the balloon and crashed into the colony?
I don't know. That's where I say, like, I don't know why this balloon is
not
even
to mention, how do you
this.
Crash a hot air balloon into a colony?
And why, when she crashes
she
there, she crashes
window.
There,
oh, yeah,
she
right.
knows that everyone's crazy there, why does she go into the holding cell? Why wouldn't you just, like, leave?
And here's an even bigger point. Why, she is the one character who knows what's going on and does not share this with the police officer. She's not like, hey, guys, get that train back here right now.
Right,
we
they
gotta
could escape.
Go.
She should have been like, wow, we have, like, people with guns and stuff. We have a legit chance to get out of here. And she's like, I want to sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense.
She's
no
suffering. Sense. She's suffering from, you know, the trauma of her favorite balloon popping. So she's sleeping.
She came in
Can
wizard-
you even ride in weather balloons? I thought weather balloons were like unmanned things that track weather, not like you fly around in.
They also appear to be
like
essentially. Well, they do seem to be like floating like bombs. From what
Apparently,
happens when it crashes,
that's what they should have used to defeat everybody.
I kept thinking that was actually going to come back. She was going to be like, "I've got more weather balloons." Like, I really did. And I was like, "Oh, they're going to like weather balloon bomb them because we saw this huge
eruption." Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So they do finally come across James Desolation Williams in his cell. And the first thing that Natasha Henstridge says to him is, "Do you know what's going on outside?" It's like, what, this is the person you want to get information from? Ay, ay, ay. And he's not cooperating with them. He doesn't want anything.
There's also an awful
this.
Lot. The next act of the film should be called Throw Down Your Guns.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of, throw on your guns, and then the tides turn, you throw down your guns. And then the tides turn again. You throw down your guns.
You know what this, you guys all know what this next portion of the movie reminded me of. I think we're
text you. This is the trespass logic. Trespass. You thought you had the guns? I have the guns.
There are more tables turned than in a cafeteria in this movie.
I was actually going to text you that because I was like,
you think you're in charge?
I laughed every time that someone lost the guns because it happened like someone would get guns and literally like, yeah. 2 seconds later
it was like a
gun.
1 point basketball game where every time someone scores like a basket the lead changes.
We're going ahead a little bit but like so now they're trying to explore the rest of the colony. This
is where it gets really confusing because they go to like multiple flashbacks within flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. I really lost my mind at this point because Pam Grier and Jason.
What happens is
finds a crazy guy in a tank.
Yeah, it's Pam Grier finds him in the tank and he's trying to talk to her, but she can't read his lips. Then Natasha Henstridge comes out.
He's clearly saying like stay away.
Of course.
Yeah.
It couldn't be any clearer.
He slices his own throat. Even though he still gets a POV shot, he slices his own throat. And then Natasha Henstridge is like, we have to get him out of there and help him. And Jason Statham's like, no, leave him. I'll go try to find the commander. You go back to the bunker.
And the commander disappeared. Speaking of awkwardly phrased lines, she saw someone like, when they were exploring that tank, you see kind of someone like flash across the screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, when you see something like that, would be like, what's that? Or did you guys see that? No, she says, who goes there?
Yes. I like that. Yeah.
It's like, there's a line Gandalf might say.
I know. Yeah, or it felt like something would happen in Pompeii where someone would be like, who is that?
Who goes there?
And
she disappears.
And then somehow in here, Desolation Williams gets free, right?
Because the one girl lets him out of the cell to
for
eat.
For a meal or to go to the bathroom.
But they
something.
They dissolve it, so you don't actually see the gate.
Yeah,
open.
You don't actually see him.
Yeah, you can see Natasha Henstridge just comes in, and he's got her, the girl, by like the throat with a knife.
Yeah.
And the other guy is like, yeah, she let him out to eat.
And she's like, what happened.
Let me guess, you unshackled him too? And she's like, yeah.
At least she admitted her mistake.
Clearly we're rookies here because
they're already pretty resigned. It's almost like they should. It's almost like those characters saying like, get used to it.
Yeah.
You're seeing more of it.
Almost like John Carpenter's like, listen, you knew Ice Cube was gonna escape at some point. Do we really need to show you how it happened?
We'll skip
to the chase.
His name is Desolation. You know.
They should have called him Dissolve.
That would be better.
He dissolved
James
through
dissolve
the bars.
Williams.
He dissolved through the bars.
Should have been when he's holding the knife to neck, been like, this is self-defense.
If I say it at the time, then it is self-defense.
So he goes running into a clinic, and Natasha Henstridge goes into the clinic to try to track him down.
Well, this is where Natasha Henstridge gets that scar on her neck that she still has during the tribunal. It's like still bleeding.
Yes.
He just presses the knife to her throat for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, that was the scar for a pretty brief cut.
Much worse things happened to Natasha Henstridge later in the movie, but they really hang it all on that one neck scar.
Well, yeah, and when I saw it, I was like, I wonder how she got that. I'm sure it's going to be some like cool battle moment where she got this very prominent scar and it's just like him holding the knife to her neck. And
Okay. Okay.
Never mind the time she got like hit with like clubs with spikes on it. That one little knife poke.
Yeah.
I like as Natasha Henstridge is walking through the clinic, she sees these like weird people in like clinical bays, and she just walks by one and goes, hey. What? Like you know something clearly very wrong here. This town is empty. You've already seen a crazy guy like cut his own throat in like a little mini tank, and that's hey.
And the girl she says it to like looks like Linda Blair at The Exorcist, and she's like scratching her wrists, and there's like blood pouring from her face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like yeah, that's the person you want to be friendly with. What's going on?
Yeah. So then these zombies start attack. Well, they're like, how would you guys describe what's going on? Are they zombies? Are they orcs?
They look like possessed.
Yeah, they're possessed by the ghosts of Mars, but they
possessed zombies.
Well, it's like it's like they're going nuts. It's like the the rabid people in 28 Days Later.
Yeah, they're kind of like 28 Days Later zombies. That's a good way to put
it. And every time they clearly an orc from
absolutely
right.
And every I was gonna say every time they talk, it was like hilarious because
it's a Klingon.
It wasn't even. It was like more like it wasn't like any like defined
like the constable in Son of Frankenstein. What?
Yes. Yes. And now we get the tables start getting
the tables turn like two times in like 20 seconds.
It's a lazy Susan.
Yeah. A zombie attacks Natasha Henstridge. Desolation shoots saves that zombie. The day. Then a zombie attacks Desolation and Natasha Henstridge saves the day. And it's amazing at this point how Natasha Henstridge's character has essentially no interest in these zombies. Even like Ice Cube is like, yo, there's like keeping me in handcuffs should not be your priority. We got zombie overrun here, and she's
besides. It's not like he really desolates anything, you know.
Yeah, he really would know.
And you would think that in a situation like this, a guy named Desolation might be useful.
Well, you'd think, or he might be like, hey, this is the kind of desolation I appreciate. This town is empty now. I like it. I like open spaces.
Hey, I'll fight if someone attacks me, if it's self-defense, but don't expect me to be the aggressor.
Hey, look, they don't call me James Overpopulation Williams, okay? And somewhere in here, we now get the flashback within a flashback of what Jason Statham has been doing while this is going on, who is finding out that
Trying to find the commander.
Trying to find Pam Grier. Yeah.
And he finds her head on a spike.
Yes.
And then he looks over the side of the cliff and he sees the colony of orcs going nuts, cutting people's heads off.
I'll admit, this is the one part I thought was like kind of creepy and kind of well done when you see this kind of scene. Because I was like, oh, that's that's not bad.
This is where they blew their money.
Yeah, that wasn't terrible.
Like if you had showed...
Well,
if
John Carpenter can do creepy, just this movie is not...
Right. Yeah. Like, if you had showed me that scene, that, like, two-minute scene, and said to me, would you see that movie, I'd be like, yeah, that actually looks pretty awesome. The problem is just, like, the 60 minutes after that and the 30 minutes before that are terrible.
We now get, this is going to be so inside baseball, but the structuring of what happens next. Statham shows up now back at the police station, and he's like...
No, he goes to the...
She radios him.
Oh, she radios him.
And he doesn't get through because there's another flashback. Because she radios him. He radios her and she can't hear what he's saying.
Yes.
And then he moves position and then he radios and says, I'm coming in with three more people. So she's like, okay. So
and
she opens
like,
the door.
Three people? Who are they? Flashback.
Exactly. And he's on the hill with Pam Grier's head on the spike and he's talking to the radio.
What? Which we then, just
But wait a second.
Saw.
Wait a second. Now wait. He looks up. The bad guys are 20 feet away from him and now he is in eye shot of them.
And he's like trying to get into
down
this
the hill
like,
with I guess his the, gun.
The equivalent of a utility closet.
Yep, like a
and he's like banging on the door and you even see like the zombie people like react to the sound.
Yep.
Yes.
And then these three people let him in, and then the zombies just like
walk on by.
Walk by.
Like they didn't see him.
Yeah. Like the zombies just like, well, that was weird.
We didn't think anyone was here.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Guess we'll just keep walking. So he meets three other guys who appear to.
Then they tell a flashback.
They appear
to
be
their
villagers
story.
Who are not infected.
Who are not infected. And they have some detonators, but they don't have dynamite.
And we later find out they have something else, too.
Yeah, well, they're initially very hostile to Jason Statham, and then they're very friendly to Jason Statham.
There is a flashback in this flashback.
Yeah.
There is. Yeah, they then flashback to their story.
Yep.
So is Jason Statham telling over the radio their flashback, too? Or?
I think so. I mean...
Yeah, because at this point,
it's
woman
a many-layered film.
The There's woman who's telling the story at this tribunal thing totally is telling, that. Like, 3 degrees of stories that she was not privy to.
Yeah. I mean, this really is like Inception. At some point, she'd been like, well, we started hearing the music play, and I knew
we needed to start the drop at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings these new three guys into the police station.
Uno, dos, and tres.
Uno, dos, and tres.
Those are literally their names.
Everybody gets the jumps jump on these cops. No one is getting the jump on these cops.
The next 5 minutes is just like tables turning like crazy.
Yes. They pull out guns and they're like, ha ha, you thought we were workers? No, we're friends of Desolation Williams. Guess he's not so desolate after all.
That would have been awesome.
That should have been line, actually. That's a missed opportunity.
And then Jason Statham would have been like, oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, he's got us there.
Why didn't I think about that?
What was that, Jack?
Why didn't I think about that?
I love Jack's Jason Statham.
That's a good
We were talking about this before, and Jack was like, yeah, I don't do a really good Jason Statham, but...
I don't think I do.
Now it's me thinking I do.
And it's somewhere in here, so now the crooks get the jump on the cops. And Statham points out, he's like, hey, there's 200 zombies that just walked by our building. That's the real problem here. Like,
yep.
And to which point everyone's like, shut it, you know. And they're just still interested in getting Ice Cube out.
Yeah, it's already, so they have the guns on Ice Cube, or on the cops. They're like, let Ice Cube out.
Yes.
And they're like, okay. And because Jason says, yeah, just whatever, just let him out. We have
this is more, amazing.
Bigger problems. So Natasha Henstridge opens up the cell. And they all go in, and all three guys with their guns are like, hey, what's going on, Desolation? Eh? And then, like, this Natasha enters, like, runs out of the cell and clicks the button, and the cell closes.
And they lock
they lock themselves in the... And my favorite part is, too, that Desolation goes to his brother. He goes, I thought you were watching the door. He goes, I was.
Like, he, clearly no not. One is he like, hey, idiots, why did you come in the cell with me? No one else... I was coming out.
Then the cops are like, okay, give us your guns and we'll let you out.
Right.
So they give their guns and again.
And so now the cops and crooks agree to work together because even though Jason Statham pointed this out a few minutes ago, only now can they appreciate the 200 bloodthirsty zombies are the real problem here.
Well, I think also they were just tired of like the tables turning every 20 seconds. They're like, all right, let's just work together because... No one's going to come out a winner if we keep doing it this way. Yeah.
If we keep saying ha-ha to each other, we're all going to be losers. Yeah. And the I just want to get you guys' take on this. They introduce this plot point of one of the crooks is using, like, there's not great oxygen on Mars, so he's using what they call a laffer, which is he's taking in oxygen mixed with
it's a knockoff breather.
Yeah, like a low-quality breather.
It has nitrous oxide in it.
So why did they introduce this?
Because it sets up the hilarious joke that comes up in 2 seconds. The hilarious John Carpenter joke.
It was so immediate and then went away.
This
it
is
was
why
like
they
the
did,
setup was longer than the joke.
This is why they did all those dissolves earlier on, so they could fit this joke.
So they could save time for this joke. Yeah, they didn't want to lose this bit.
Right.
They saved 2 seconds each scene just so they could fit this in.
Yeah.
Because they decide that they're going to put the detonators in cans, food cans, so that they'll have a bigger explosion.
Like Molotov cocktails.
Yeah.
So like the one guy who has one line suggested it.
Yeah. So they're cutting up all these food cans, opening all these food cans, and he's high on nitrous or whatever, and so he like cuts it with a machete and cuts his thumb off, and it's a hilarious joke.
And I was just watching it, and like then I was like. Was it? Yeah, because I think you're right. It was intended as a joke.
Oh, yeah, because then he dies 2 seconds later, like the next scene. So it's not like
he gets
him not having a thumb was like a big plot point or anything.
Carpenter needs to stay away from comedy.
Yeah.
He needs
to. Well, luckily, this is like his one joke in this movie.
That's true. Actually, yeah, it is his only attempt at a joke in the movie. So,
And we'll say his only intentional joke.
And then they go. Is this the point where they make a break for the station?
Yeah, they're gonna go into the train, but the train isn't there. So I
so she doesn't have a plan B.
And only after they get to the station is she like, "Hey, we should call." Why didn't you call when you were in a protected building?
Yeah.
So Ice Cube's just like, "Oh, forget this," and he just starts shooting all the.
Yes.
All the
orcs. Well, my other question too is when they go out there, and there's no one around when they're originally walking. So, like, if they had called the train, they, in theory, would have just walked right onto the train, meeting no resistance.
Yes.
And then after that, when Desolation's like, oh, here's my plan B, and starts shooting, and like all of like the zombie people are like, it's like a old west shootout, because like there's like one town, and all like the zombie people are like on top of the buildings and stuff. Yeah. But they don't even look like they're interested in attacking them at all.
No.
Like they're kind of just hanging out watching them, and it's only when Mr. Self-Defense starts the fighting that then they attack back.
I don't like all these people. I demand desolation. He should have said that.
Well, we should talk about too, thematically, this is like a space western, because this whole town is designed to look like a western town.
Absolutely.
And this is, I mean, John Carpenter like is long fascinated with the movies of Howard Hawks, and Assault on Precinct 13, which is an early John Carpenter movie, is sort of his take on Howard Hawks' Rio Bravo. Mm-hmm. And now this is kind of like Assault on Precinct 13, which is cops and crooks teaming up together to protect themselves from a gang in space. So now he's ripping off his own movie that was a ripoff of a Howard Hawks movie.
Inception.
And it gets very much like The Thing as well.
Yes.
Definitely.
Remote. That's what made me. I thought of The Thing originally when they're like, all right, remote outposts.
Yep.
Like no one's around. An unseen force possessing people.
People don't really like each other.
You don't. Though this movie, I thought this actually would have been a better way to go in some points, but like you know immediately who's infected in this one. At least in The Thing, like it was always a mystery who's the thing and who isn't. But this one, like this red mist goes into people and they instantly start like gouging their eyes out.
Who's infected? Oh no, that guy.
He's eating his ear.
Let's stay away from that.
They do have some cool beheadings in this movie. I would say
there's a couple good.
There was a couple good beheading effects that I don't know. They whatever money they had for digital effects all went to beheadings.
Yeah.
And
so they get in a big shootout fight with the zombie people
who are like throwing these razor sharp saw blades like boomerangs at them.
Yes. And it's in typical Carpenter fashion, it is endless. I mean, it just goes on and
no dissolves
on
here.
And on. No. They didn't cut this down.
No flashbacks in the middle of this one.
Yeah, didn't need to trim down, you know, 10 minutes of, like, Ice Cube punching people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good. And they finally get back inside the police building where Joanna Cassidy starts revealing that she knows a little bit more about what's going on here. I don't think we get her full flashback.
No.
But she starts acknowledging that, like...
she gets this, a little bit of a time. Yeah, there's enough flashbacks in the movie.
I'll give you a starter on my flashback more later.
Yeah.
Where she's acknowledging that, like, the mist that, like, the... Basically, it's the idea that these ghosts of Mars were, like, in this mist and that they're infecting people and it gives them a host.
I was very disappointed at this point, by the way, that there weren't actual ghosts in this movie.
No.
I thought it was interesting when it came out. I remember, like, okay, ghosts on Mars, that could be...
Well, later...
When it's just, like, the indigenous, you know, species is just this red mist that's...
Yeah.
It was sort of a cop-out. But there was something weird that happened later on when Natasha Henstridge has her hallucination.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Yeah. I have a lot of questions about Natasha Henstridge and her hallucination and what that
is. A second
meant
hallucination.
Well, because Joanna Cassidy has a great line, too, where she's trying to explain this. And this is a real line in the movie where she just goes, she's talking about how the mist spread and infected people, and she just goes, it's got to be the wind. Yeah, that's it. The wind. Are you making this up on the spot? Like, is somebody...
Is this a scientific hypothesis?
That was the inspiration for The Happening years later.
I know.
From the wind.
Yeah. And she explains at this point in the movie, if you kill someone, the ghost / mist / bacteria comes out of that person and infects another person.
Yeah, because I think it wants...
Which...
I can jump from host to host.
By that theory... When they were just killing, like, dozens of those people out
in
that fight.
The same thing, right. Yeah.
Where were all those mists going?
Which is the worst thing they should be doing. They should not be killing these people. They should be trying to, like trap
capture
them.
Yeah.
But that no point does that stop. It just turns into gun downs later on in the movie. I like how even at one point, I think Ice Cube even says, he's like, you know when we shoot these people, it just lets the thing loose, right? And, like, Natasha Henstridge is like, huh? Like,
no, I don't follow.
Yeah.
We're okay if there's no wind.
Yeah. Just don't breathe in. We'll be fine. I'm trying to think where we are now. Is this where Jason Statham creepily, like,
I think so, yeah. So
Natasha Enstridge into the back room.
And she was, like, totally going to go for it, too, which I was shocked by.
Yeah, this is a super rapey scene.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, hey, okay. And I'm like, what message are you sending
me? I thought she was going to, like, knee him in the balls or something.
I thought so, too. I'm
but
like,
she goes for it, and then, like, they get interrupted. And it's like, they're actually going to go for it.
Yeah,
because that dumb rookie officer shot the guy they actually have in a holding cell.
Yeah.
So
the one thing she didn't want to do.
The one thing you don't want to do, then letting that bacteria.
I thought too that like Jason Statham was maybe like infected, and he was, but of course that's not what actually happens when they get infected.
Right.
Like he was like being like weird and creepy, and then he's gonna like try to kill.
He was being Jason Statham.
He's just being a creep.
I have so many notes on my sheet here that just say stop shooting zombies.
Yeah. So they shoot the guy in the cell for no reason at all.
No.
The only reason the girl gives is like, oh, f that guy.
He was weird.
I was like. Okay, and then
he was chewing his knee.
Yeah, and then Natasha Enstridge gets possessed by the.
Now here's this great message of the film.
Well, that was the other thing that was exact. Real quick, that was the other thing that was exactly
quick,
like
Ryan.
The thing. Yeah, real.
Make it
dissolve.
Really
we're gonna dissolve through this.
In fact, we need to dissolve this. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That was really good, Brian. I like that point.
Yeah. All right. I know. All right. Flashback to what was dissolved.
Yeah.
The camera shot that they do like the POV shot of this red mist was also exactly like the POV shot from The Thing.
Yes.
When it like moved from body to body. It was like.
Yeah. Oh.
And, yeah. Well, you know
microphone
what it was.
That was a really good point, Brian. I like that.
Do you know what it was
Thanks,
also
appreciate that, Jack.
Like, is it reminded me of his, the They Live vision.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was like kind of They Live-y. So Natasha Henstridge gets infected. And the Ice Cube and Jason Statham.
Can I just say Jack just left the table to spit his gum out?
Very fancily.
Very
and not only did he spit the gum out, but he like clasped his hands behind his back.
He's very graceful.
I know.
It was almost like, it was almost like you were like doing an Olympic dive or something.
I'm a very graceful gum spitter.
It was
in fact,
good form.
I did compete in state championships when I was in high
school. The arch on your back was impeccable.
Yeah. You really got that into that basket.
I got good points.
Yeah.
I got high marks on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to point
that out. I appreciate that.
So, all right, so Ice Cube and Jason Statham bring Natasha Henstridge outside the police station because
like,
she's infected. Which also, weirdly, there's no zombies outside.
Yeah, where?
Even though the zombies know where the people are.
Well, the zombies apparently, like, aren't anywhere because then at one point she, like, climbs over to the other side and there's no one there either.
There's no zombies anywhere. Yeah. And
so she just wakes up and she starts having.
They give her her hallucinogenic drug.
That's where the drugs came into play.
Here's the question. So Ice Cube.
I forgot there was a quick shot when he takes her hostage earlier, where like you see something like get snatched off of her, but I didn't really. I was like, I don't know.
He snatched her necklace, which holds the drugs.
And Ice Cube's like, hey, this is her necklace. And Jason Statham's like, why do you have her necklace? And Ice Cube's like, look, you know what? Just
it was a self-defense.
Don't worry about it.
It was self-defense, okay?
That necklace looked dangerous.
That's right. It could hurt somebody with that thing.
And Jason Statham's like, oi, this necklace is full of drugs, mate. And he's like, why is he Australian? Why is Jason Statham Australian now?
Jack really needs to handle all the Jason Statham
impressions. Yeah.
So what did he say, Jack?
It's Nicholas has drugs in him.
Yeah. So, Statham.
What do you think I am? Drug dispenser?
he gives her drugs. She's like lying unconscious on the ground,
yeah,
and Statham
like,
shoves
in her mouth.
Like shoves like a pill in her mouth. And what happens next should be debated because I think it's very questionable.
This is really
what goes
strange.
On.
Yeah,
she seems to go on a weird hallucinogen.
She's tripping balls.
Yes,
basically
it's a very requiem for a dream.
But there's like a fish. I swear to God, I saw like a giant fish. Man.
It was
is that
fish
what the Martians
sound?
yes. And then at some point, the ghost of Mars is like. I'm out of here.
Well, she starts yelling like, I won't have it. And she like vomits the ghost out.
Yeah, she like pukes out a ghost.
Is that all it took?
Yeah.
So I thought maybe this film was giving a messed up message that drugs cured her. So it's okay to be an addict.
Yeah, the drugs were what gave her the vision.
Was that what it helped him reject?
Or I thought, were they just saying that the ghost was anti-drug? The ghost was like, you know what? I just say no. I'm not
going to go into a clean body.
Yeah, I'll infect people and make them into a raving lunatic, but I don't do drugs. You know, Mars
a good message.
Is like,
that's where I draw the line.
But I don't know. So anyway, so one way or another, she pukes out the ghost of Mars. And
a ghost of Mars.
A ghost of
not
Mars.
The ghost.
The cinema's puked out the ghost of Mars, too.
And
Mars
the lesson appears to be do drugs, but that never, it's never mentioned again in the movie.
But they don't cure people
later
with
on
it.
In the movie, they never like show anyone well, else never, taking well, drugs.
Like disperse it, never, it in the water really supply or something? Play again, just because no one else got infected on, in the team.
Yeah, but they could like disperse it in the water supply and try to like cure the village. That could have been like their next plan.
I thought this was gonna be like Signs or something.
Here, everybody,
like,
drink the water.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the movie took that turn? They didn't find anymore. It was just them trying to get them to drink water.
Well, no, because they're gonna die if they don't drink water anyway. So
we're gonna make water balloons.
I thought we were gonna get a crazy PSA with the government being like, everyone, start taking drugs, hallucinogenic drugs. And so she's now fine because the ghost is out. And she gets into like an Amok time style fight, like with a zombie who like sneaks up on her, very like dan, 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 dan. And
yeah, the she's not exactly a martial artist, no.
No, no. Also, where did zombies get the swords? Did that make sense?
They're miners. I'm sure they had swords.
They fashioned them out of things. Swords. Like, because every time they looked, because I remember when they first got there, flashing back to the beginning of the movie, whenever they looked at things, the camera kept cutting in closer and closer and closer.
Right.
And one of the things they kept cutting into were these bizarre scissor knives. So I think they're supposed to be fashioning their swords out of like scissor stuff knives. That like machinery and stuff.
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
That's a stretch.
It's the least of this movie's problems. Yeah, that's true. So they all regroup inside, and their plan now is to say, okay, they need to contact the train. Oh, no, now the zombies are attacking the police station.
They build a battering ram.
Well, they let them in, don't they?
Well, the zombies, they say they build a battering ram, but the battering ram just seems to be a car that has, like, a pole on it. I mean, they didn't really build it.
Well, these guys don't have high intelligence. The language consists of blarg.
This wasn't like an A-team situation where, on every week on the A-team, they build a tank out of something. Right. This was just like a pole. Yeah. And they start crashing in. And again,
I think right before this was the point where the weather balloon woman finally explained everything that happened.
Yeah. Yes.
And that they were doing an excavation. And they opened some tomb and all the red mist poured out and infected the miners. And
somehow she was able to get in her balloon and escape.
Even though she was the closest person to the red mist, she escaped it.
And
hot air balloon. She got on her weather balloon and left, and for some reason then went back to it and crashed there.
Yeah.
The wind brought her back.
She realized she couldn't drive the weather balloon.
I'm sorry, I don't know how it works. Goodbye, folks.
And now we just get more of like just a straight up gun down.
Yeah,
like just
very boring.
A lot of shooting. It's not a Carpenter movie if you don't have a guy on fire at one point.
Yeah.
It was the main guy too.
It was that main dude, bad guy. That main orc. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a funny shot during this where one of the stunt guys just lets Ice Cube go to town on his stomach with a rifle butt for like a solid like 10 seconds with his hands in the air.
Yeah.
Which again, I'm sure.
Self-defense.
He was gonna kill me if I didn't keep punching him in the stomach.
So they end up outside, right?
They end up outside, and this is where the train does pull up.
Yeah, and the trail of the train driver is like, "Where you guys been?"
And they're like, "Where have you been?" He's
like, "Where have you been?"
I want to see a flashback of what he's been going through.
Yeah, there was something like the train, like the track was blocked.
We got held up making a delivery down in. Like Marsport or whatever.
Yeah, Marsville.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay.
So they get everyone, all of the good guys on the train. Yeah. Most of the good guys get on the train.
The living ones.
The living ones.
I was like, okay, this is, it's over. And they look at the runtime.
And they're going. And then Natasha Henstridge just starts going, we've got to go back.
I was like, why even put them on the train if you're just going to have this conversation about going back?
Well, and the characters are immediately like, no, that's stupid. We should not go back. And Natasha Henstridge is like, we've got a chance to stop this before it goes any further. And she's like, if we blow up these guys, we'll kill them. Or will this kill them, Doctor? And then Dr. Weatherballoon is like, I don't know that it will. She openly says before they do this, she's like, I don't know that this is going to work.
I don't think
there's another weird message here, too, where Natasha Henstridge's last, like, big line was like, it's not their planet anymore. I was like, that's kind of like a weird, like...
I know. Easy like, Gulf taking, War allegories
like,
here.
We're taking it from them. Like, I don't know what they're... But it wasn't like they ever came back like, oh, it is their planet. It was just like, no, we're taking their planet from them and that's it.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay.
I don't get what...
That's kind of rude.
Like, there was really no danger of this thing spreading because all of the mist was already in the miners.
Right. Yeah, but they were just going to kill everybody, though. That was it.
Yeah, but there was no one else in that mining colony.
It probably would have spread to the rest of the planet, though.
Well, they're probably going to kill each other eventually.
As soon as they die, the mist goes back in the air.
So, like, they have to worry about it, like, 50 years from now when those miners die? Like, or why don't you just go back to the main city, tell everyone what happened, and have them fly a plane over and bomb them? Like, why are you
right? Why did it
going
have
all
to
the
be
way
them?
Back?
Yeah.
Well, and it's, like, the worst plan of all time.
This is
even she says, like, it was... She's like, it was a good plan, it just didn't go right.
And I'm like,
it wasn't a bad plan,
and that's why it didn't go
this
right.
This is the worst is plan since, the only plan worse than this is Jean-Claude Van Damme's plan to sneak up on Shadow Wu in Street Fighter, you know? So their plan is that the train is going to go back, some people are going to hop out and hotwire a nuclear plant to blow up.
Because that takes, like, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. While the train actually goes back into the station and those people, quote, distract the zombies there while the other people are working on the nuclear reactor.
I understand that.
Here's my question. So the train comes back up.
Yes.
And even the zombie people are probably like, oh, they're back? Okay, I guess we'll try to kill them again now.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they're alerted to their presence, and then, like, the main ogre guy is watching his people attack, and then he kind of, like, looks around and sees the main girl, like, standing guard outside the power plant as they're trying to blow it up.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just sneak into the power plant? The Martians would never realize that they came back. They wouldn't be looking for them.
Because when those people sneak into the power plant,
no one notices them.
It would have worked as a covert operation only by bringing the train back into the station.
Only by bringing this giant, like, 50-mile train back.
That was plan A, which is
like 100 feet away from the nuclear reactor. Right. Like, it really isn't even a stretch that one of the zombies
it's really
would be
like,
hey, look at those guys.
Yeah, your eye line would just go naturally from, like, the train to them in the power plant. Yeah, like, if anything, it drew their eye to them.
Yeah, this is a terrible plan.
This is the worst plan.
And that's
plan
why
ever.
Everybody dies.
So then, and then the main...
But she should be, like, prosecuted just for that decision.
Oh,
for...
No, it's self-defense. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
So then the main orc guy starts running all the zombies over to the power plant, and for reasons that make no sense, our good guys start getting off of the train to fight with the zombies, which I don't understand how that benefited.
I think they were trying to buy them some more time before they, and then help them get back onto the train.
I guess, yeah.
It didn't work that well.
It didn't work.
I mean, clearly
they
didn't think this through.
They didn't, yeah. We do get a couple more quality beheadings of those, like, razor discs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
At some point, I don't know if I missed it or not, but Jason Statham just, like, disappears from the movie.
Well,
did
he got eaten alive.
Did he get killed? Because I saw
him fighting. There was that one scene where they showed all the people, like, eating.
Oh, okay.
And that was
I saw him, like, fighting in work.
Pulled away,
But I literally was, like,
he was basically getting ripped limb for limb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
I thought that was kind of sad, though, because he was, like, one of the best characters. It's like, oh, don't give him, like, a crappy death like that.
Yeah. He was like, amazing.
He should have had a more hero's death.
Yeah.
Like, you know what his death should have been? They should have been eating him, and then, like, you know, he, like, opens a grenade, and then everyone blows up.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would have been better.
That actually would have been better.
And then he says, choke on him! Choke on him! like in Day of the Dead? No?
So now the train... Oh. So only Desolation and Natasha Henstridge get back onto the train as they're headed away from the town. And I was even unclear if the nuclear plant was going
like,
to blow.
We got to go back. What the hell? All right, another question here. Because as they're going away, you see some of the zombies jump onto the train.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a lot of them.
Yep. Yeah.
Why did they do that the first time?
A great question.
Because they show the first time they leave, the zombies are all just like banging on the train as they're going away at like 2 miles an hour. Like, the whole town could have gotten on the train.
Yep.
And then the second time, like, oh, you know what? we can actually, without running, actually just step onto this train and just follow them.
Yeah, we could go with them.
Yeah, yeah. And bring the red mist other
yeah.
areas.
Yeah. So we get, Cody sent me an amazing text while he's watching this movie. So Natasha Henstridge has to fight one zombie and then
Desolation
is fighting the other ones.
Care of the rest.
And you know how he's got to take care of them. As has been well established in movies with trains, you got to separate the cars.
Yeah.
Cody sent me a text. He's like, I wish Ice Cube had pumped his fist out.
That would have been awesome.
Separated the cars, Lone Ranger style.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
I know. I thought of that too.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That would have made the movie.
I like the thing that maybe Tom Wilkinson had seen this, and when he was in the Lone Ranger, he's like,
yeah, we should have. You know what? Ice Cube didn't sell it enough, though.
Yeah. I got to plus it. So then a bunch of zombies blow up because somehow Desolation threw a bunch of dynamite onto the cars that he uncoupled, or I don't know.
Something like that.
Some explosive.
Somehow they were blowing up.
Oh, there was dynamite in the back of the train.
And then the train blows up as they speed away.
Yes. And then he comes in, he stitches up Natasha Henstridge's wound, and then handcuffs
her. The one other wound she got, which is like in an invisible spot, like it's on her thigh or something.
Yeah. He then handcuffs her, and he's like, Because Ice Cube is still worried about these murder charges. It's like, dude, what are you kidding me? Like, your world is, Mars being overrun by zombies. I think they're last.
And he's, like, gotten off three previous times.
Yeah. I would really think that this legal case is the last thing he needs to be worried about. But he's like, hey, catch you later. And he jumps off the train before it gets into Mars Central?
Mars Towers.
Yeah.
Mars Central Station.
And at this point, good news, no more flashbacks. We are now in the current.
With 2 minutes left in the movie, we are in the present time.
We're in the present time, and where the panel. So Natasha Henstridge goes through this whole description, and the summation is like, "Thanks. Well, you should probably get some rest."
No, the lead investigator, whoever's running it, goes, "Is that it?" more do you want? My God, she's been telling this story for 90 minutes.
How great would it have been if she was like, okay, let me describe how I got into this room. Let's flash back for a minute. There was a corridor. I came down and a door opened. And so she goes to take a nap at the hospital, maybe? Question mark? She's somewhere.
I think she's
under observation at the hospital.
Yeah,
she's under observation at the hospital. And then zombie outbreak hits Marsville.
Mars Hospital.
And Ice Cube is back. And he's back and he hands her a gun.
Did this ending remind you of any other movie we did?
It did, but I can't think of what it was.
This was Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's this is very Super Mario Brothers. Yes. Yeah, we're
setting it up for a sequel.
Well, he throws her a gun and he winks at her, and then the two of them like lock and load, and you get the sense they're gonna kick more ass, and then they just walk off screen and it just fades to black.
Yep.
Like, I was like, why not have them run out into the frame and start shooting and then have it like cut to black or something?
Cassidy and the Sundance Kid style.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, setting up that wildly popular sequel, Ghosts of Mars 2, that we've all seen, right?
Werewolves of Mars?
Yeah.
Did they make a sequel to this?
No.
I knew it wasn't gonna be like a big budget one, but I was wondering if maybe they made some like straight to video.
No, this tanked. This did,
I mean,
because
they did,
well,
as we were saying before.
Really? I was shocked to hear that. No.
Speaking of crappy Jason Statham movies, they did make a Dungeon Siege 2, so you never know.
That's true.
That's very true.
That's true. Let's go to two of my favorite So Wrong It's Right questions.
Okay.
Ghosts of Mars was not the original title for this movie. I'm going to read you
Mars Ghosts?
Mars of Ghosts. I'm going to read you five titles. One of these was the original title.
Are you going to say John Carpenter's before each one?
I should actually. I am. Ready? Okay. John Carpenter's Mars Apocalypse. John Carpenter's Escape from Mars.
Okay.
John Carpenter's Desperados of Mars.
Desolation
John
of
Carpenter's
Mars.
310 to Mars. John Carpenter's The Marsening.
What was the first one again?
John Carpenter's Mars Apocalypse.
I'm going to say it's Desperados of Mars. John Carpenter's Desperados of Mars.
Desperados of Mars. All right,
that's what I was going to say, too.
All right, Brian's going Desperados of Mars.
I'll say Mars Apocalypse.
Wow, no winner. No winner. And this is going to... I'm about to blow your mind.
Oh, no.
Original title was John Carpenter's Escape from Mars.
Are you
what? I thought that was... The joke is...
Oh, no.
Did you guys notice what Desolation Williams was wearing in his first few scenes?
Camo pants.
A black sleeveless shirt.
Oh, no.
Did that remind anyone of another movie?
Oh, no.
This was written as a Snake Plissken movie.
No!
Escape from Mars. Desolation Williams was going to be Kurt Russell Snake Plissken.
Oh, my God.
And so he was going to reprise his role in this?
Yes. And the studio shot it down and said they
Did
were...
Did you guys see Escape from Mars?
Yeah. So they basically just took the same script, changed the name, but Ice Cube is basically playing Snake Plissken in this movie, which if you... And John Carpenter just costumed him like Snake Plissken.
Wow, that is insane.
That is insane. Not as insane as our next Wrong It's Right question. Originally, Jason Statham was going to play the Desolation Williams part.
Which I actually, during the movie, I was like, you know, Jason Statham should have played that part.
Yeah. He did. Well, Carpenter
considering there's absolutely zero Ice Cube music in the movie, there's no reason why he's even in it.
He's a name.
Yeah, he's a name. Yeah.
And back then, I just watching this movie made me realize how much of a better actor he is now than that. Because he's good in like the 21, 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carpenter actually wanted Statham as the Desolation part, and the studio put in Ice Cube, so Statham moved the other part. The original lead, and this wasn't just like a speculative casting, this person was in training and in rehearsals for the part when they were injured and had a dropout. So just before shooting began, Natasha Henstridge was put in. Was the original female lead? I'm going to read you five names. One of these actresses, was the original lead. Was it Pamela Anderson?
Oh, I know this one. I can't. No.
Courtney Love, Madonna, Tara Reid, or Jennifer Love Hewitt?
I have to abstain too because I already know the
you
answer.
You know the answer to this, really? You know this one. Ryan, what do you? You're the only one left. What do you think?
All right, this is 2001.
Yep. Yeah. Do you want to read him again?
I will say you won't expect it.
I'll go with Tara Reid.
No.
Courtney Love. Can you imagine that movie? Holy cats. That would have been the craziest thing. I have to think that maybe that's why the drug storyline is present for Natasha Henstridge, that maybe that would have... That was like built
that
in
been
to
something.
Explain the Courtney Loveness.
Well, it also explains why the martial arts with Natasha Henstridge weren't very good because she didn't have time to train with.
Yeah, I'm sure Courtney Love is.
I would have loved to see Courtney Love's martial arts.
But I mean, it would have looked stupid, but it would have looked better choreographed if you've got 5 weeks to work with the choreographer as opposed to like 2 days.
Maybe that would have been a crazy movie on a whole other level. The idea of Courtney Love starring in this.
Poor John Carpenter.
Yeah.
This movie didn't even feel like a John Carpenter movie.
I did feel bad, actually, for John Carpenter at the end. And actually, once I learned yesterday that this had been intended as a Snake Plissken movie, I sort of then felt
that's
bad.
Even sadder.
And I was like, that's too bad. That would have... and too bad that you didn't actually change the script at all after they told you you couldn't make a Snake Plissken movie.
It's sad that he wanted to make a Snake Plissken movie at that point.
That is sad.
Go back to the one thing that...
Yeah. Well, it's like
I'm not going to make a Halloween movie. I got to make a Snake Plissken
movie. Feel like Brian's right. Like the studio must have been like, okay, John, just to run this by you, we've seen Escape from L.A. That is not a franchise we will be continuing post that film. That'll be the end of it.
Do you know what the budget was and all that?
I think this was like, I want to say it's like a $14 million movie, and I think it made $7
million. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably only making money now because people are like, ooh, Jason Statham, what was he doing back in the day?
Okay.
Yeah, I like Jason Statham. What the?
Little retroactive appreciation.
All right, so that brings this one to a close. We will be back very soon. If you get a chance, if you can leave us a review on iTunes, we appreciate those. They help us with the Apple algorithm. You can follow our page on Facebook, and I also highly recommend going to www.stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. Very funny episode descriptions. I laughed out loud in reading the Sound of Thunder description that Cody put up. They are one of my favorite things to do every time we post a movie is to read the descriptions there. And you can get all of our older episodes there. Had someone ask me this week how to get our Halloween 3 episode, and I said, you got to go to the website. You can download it there for free.
Mm-hmm.
I think that brings this one to a close. We'll be back here next time with Winter's Tale.
I think Jason Statham needs to say goodbye.
We really.
You sure you don't want to put behind the boiler, hey? I love a woman with a gun, hey? What you mean, proper fucked?
All right, we'll be back next time. Bye.